Let's change the way we do the world. Let's nurture habits that lead to better habitats and a more sustainable future for all. Get started at OttomanNatureInstitute.org/action.
Bring your family to meet ours at Audubon Zoo and Audubon Aquarium, where you can rule the day with Arnold, flip out with Midas, get chummy with Ace, and of course, hang out with Rue. Get your tickets today at OttomanNatureInstitute.org.
At Ochsner Hospital for Children, we understand that accidents and illnesses happen. Our 24/7 pediatric ER has you covered no matter what unexpected moments life throws your way. Visit Ochsner.org/4children to learn more.
Oh, hey, didn't see you there. Do you know what ultra-premium ice cream is? Well, in order to qualify for an ultra-premium ice cream, you have to have more than 16% milk fat. This is commonly described as a dense, rich, creamy, heavenly, sumptuous, decadent, indulgent ice cream. And our pals, friends, and partners over at New Orleans Ice Cream Company has the most delicious ice cream you could ever imagine. I mean, let's say Bananas Foster, go for it. Chocolate City, go for it. Mardi Gras, King Cake, go for it. They have the Po' Boys, which is like their own rendition of an ice cream sandwich. Okay, it's two different ways. You can get it with the vanilla bean or the Creole cream cheese. And it's this kind of like very soft cookie situation that sandwiches. It's called the Po' Boy, and you gotta try it out. Y'all, you can find New Orleans Ice Cream Company around the country, but also at our Rouse's, our dear friends, and other grocery stores all around. You try it out. And guess what? When you're not in New Orleans and you're trying some of that Bananas Foster or that King Cake, it'll transport you in some sort of way vicariously. NewOrleansIceCreamCompany.com. Nola Papa is proudly sponsored by Rouse's Markets. You'll love us for more than just the low prices. Make shopping easy with pickup and delivery. Everyday low prices, unbeatable quality, family-owned delivery and pickup options. We buy local services, catering, and bakery. And that Gentilly Berry cake in that case is so fine. Oh, y'all, you know the Gentilly Berry cake. Oh, find it at Rouse's Markets. We interrupt this regular programming to say that over on our website at nolapapa.com, we have the biggest deal we've ever done, and it's half off both our books, The Secret Mermaid Review and The Adventures of Addie Underwater. You can find them all across New Orleans, Target.com, Amazon, but only at nolapapa.com can you get it signed and half off. I don't know how long it's going to be there as to I see fit. Right now, it's good as gold. So at checkout for Addie, put in Addie 50. And for The Secret Mermaid Review, put in Secret 50 at checkout. And let me know when you did, okay? Just tell Nola Papa. Tag it.
Hey there, Nola Papa fans. This is Nick from Sandpiper Vacations. At Sandpiper Vacations, we specialize in making dreams come true. Who doesn't love a fabulous vacation? Picture yourself in Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line. We are your ticket to the Disney dream. But hold on, it's not just about Mickey and Minnie. We're talking about Universal Studios, Sandals, all-inclusive resorts, and cruise lines like Royal Caribbean and Virgin Voyages. And that's just the beginning. Guess what? Booking your dream vacation doesn't cost you anything extra to use our services. We are here to give you that added value to booking your vacation. Sometimes we can save you some money. We'll save you time. We'll save you the stress and take out that hassle of booking your dream vacation. So head on over to sandpipervacations.com, click on Get a Quote, and let your adventure begin. Make sure you mention that Nola Papa sent you.
This is Adrian Sosby, your freelance content creator and editor of the Nola Papa podcast. From corporate videos to compelling documentaries, podcast production to engaging reels, I bring creative energy to your business. Plus, I specialize in YouTube management, helping you grow your channel and reach new heights. Let's collaborate. Contact me at 404-247-1083 or visit solidicemedia.com to see examples of my work.
Life is so much more than a blog. It's also unafraid, unique, and unscripted. A Nola Papa podcast.
I have been saying it for the longest. I've never done it. But it seems like every time Dick and Harry that I know has done it, that's the pleasure cruise, okay? And we live in like a major port in New Orleans, and yet we have still not utilized this next level of vacation, okay? I always say that I want to do the Disney. Well, I mean, that's like, you know, the epicness like of what you could do, but there's other ones, okay? And I am just tickled about this because we have my pal Nick Bryan from our dear sponsor, OG from the beginning, Sandpiper Vacations, and he has come on time and again talking about different hot, really cool places to do or what to do during vacation. Last time he came on and he talked about Virgin and how sexy that fleet is, okay, and how contemporary, like, you know, kind of, it reminds me of like the W of hotels, but, you know, because it's like it's you know, real cool and hip. Well, my friend Nick just got back from the like mecca of cruise ships. And I don't know if y'all have heard of hashtag Icon of the Seas, but that is a new fleet. And Nick is about to call me on my cell phone. There he is. Okay. That's a funny ringtone. That is funny. Hello. Hello, Nick.
Hello.
I'm back. That was a good jingle. I like that. Yeah, that fit you. It was like Hawaiian-ness. So you got to go on this like theme park
as a city. It's a theme park, a city. It's Vegas on a ship, basically. It's everything.
So what fleet is Icon of the Seas? Like what? Is it
so? Icon of the Seas. It's a new ship from Royal Caribbean. So it is their newest ship, the largest ship in the entire world.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So previously, they already have broken. Basically, this ship broke their own records. They've had the largest ship in the world for since I think like 2009 now, maybe, with the Oasis class ships. Every one of those Oasis class ships, they built the next one just a little bit bigger, so they can say this one's the biggest. This one's just ginormous. I don't even think biggest you can say. It's huge.
Well, watching your stories, because what's cool about Nick is he documents it on his Instagram Sandpiper Vacations account, and you're able to kind of like vicariously live it through he and his his fabulous husband. They live like their best lives, and like to watch, you know, you embark on it, like, and like the mass scale of the son of a gun.
Yeah, it's like first thing you walk into is their what they call their atrium, I guess. It's a royal promenade, and it features this brand new thing called the Pearl, and it's this 3-story tall kind of pearl ball shape that you can walk up the stairs in the middle of it. It's got lights and music playing throughout it, and it's like just a jaw-dropping experience when you first get on that ship. And And that was just the start of it too. So
that's what greets you. And then you just like keep going and going. Like there was a part like when you walked through like an atrium or whatnot, and then you panned up and it was like freaking all the way, like, I mean,
it's like 10 or 12 decks high, I think, probably from certain areas of the Central Park, the Surfside family area. It's just, it's a beautiful, it's literally a floating city. There's the Central Park is, so basically there's seven different neighborhoods they call on the ship. So each one has different kind of vibes to it. So the Central Park area that I did a lot of video from, because our cabin faced the Central Park. There's live trees and plants and orchids and everything grown in there. And they have sounds of crickets at
so
nighttime
peaceful.
And everything. It's like a spa in that area.
It's ginormous, stunning. Y'all. Listen, so if you could just imagine, like you walk, you're on a boat, like a ship, and you walk into like this ginormous atrium of like trees and like lush gardens, and it's like a spa.
Yeah,
I mean it's incredible. So do you eat out there?
Yeah, they have the Izumi Japanese steakhouse in that area. They have some bars and live music throughout the day and the evening. So each area kind of has its own little food and entertainment type options to choose from. So you can kind of go with what you're feeling in the moment too.
That's incredible, because like it, seven neighborhoods, it seems like whatever zone you're wanting to get in, like shows, like do they have cool, like, you know, like on the third floor they have, you know, is it really cool shows?
Yeah. And the funny thing is we were on this sailing for only a 3-night sailing. I got invited as a travel agency owner to do a preview sailing. So this was before even the maiden voyage. And we, by the third day, we're still walking through areas of the ship that I'm like, I don't know how we got here to begin with. Also, why haven't we been here yet? So there's quite a few different options as far as shows and entertainment goes. There's the main theater in the forward part of the ship, and they have a very special show designed just for the ship, and it is The Wizard of Oz. And it was truly an incredible show that they definitely could bring it to Broadway. They had Dorothy literally flying over the audience. And it was just so incredible. And it was awesome to be on for... it was actually dress rehearsal still when we were on the ship. So they told us ahead of time, like, hey, we might have to stop the show if something doesn't feel right, they don't feel safe. And we were lucky enough that we got to see the entire thing straight through. But it was jaw-dropping. It was almost, I think, about 2 hours long of a show.
Wow.
It's a really,
and you know,
well,
it's state of the art.
Yeah. State of the art. They had a live orchestra, which most of the cruise ships have gone away from live bands in their entertainment. They have a live 17-piece orchestra. It had a violin, cello section. Like, it's the first like string section on a cruise ship. And just hearing the music, so it wasn't just the songs playing of her singing, but it was like in between, like the movements and stuff too. And it felt so immersive being in there.
Wow.
And, I have a really awesome video of basically Dorothy kind of flew over the audience when the tornado came through. So a really cool video that I put on TikTok that I think has like 10,000 views now. And it was just a really awesome show that I loved.
How cool is it to experience it before even the maiden voyage?
Maiden voyage.
And I, you know, me not ever doing anything, I have wondered, you know, because there's different levels of cruises, you know, there's the Carnival, and you know, I have often contemplated, because I got kids and you know, that doesn't break the bank. Never have gone through with it, but you know, Carnival and then like Norwegian, mm-hmm. and then Royal Caribbean. It seems like Royal Caribbean is up a notch above
Yeah.
Carnival,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they definitely have continued to step up the game. Carnival used to be, I think, the biggest cruise line in the industry with, they had like 25 ships at one point. Royal Caribbean has now outpaced them. They have more ships out there, bigger ships, more things to do on the ships. And that show just was the beginning. We saw they have an aquadome in there. So they have this giant 4-story tall waterfall coming down from the top deck. And they have a water show with live acrobatics and everything, and high dives and stuff too, where the pool all of a sudden just disappears and turns into a stage. So it's just amazing technology what they did with that. And there's projections on that show. There's an ice skating show, which is another incredible performance too. So there's so much to do and see for everybody, and it's included in your cruise fare too, which is amazing.
So you just, like, you know, make your reservation and you get to just, you know, come on, honey.
Yeah. Yeah. It's worth it just because you have everything right there for you, and you can choose to go to a show, or you can go to the casino, you can go dancing somewhere, you can go to the 6 water slides. There's everything.
So the price of your ticket, I'm sure there's upgrade after upgrade you could get, but you pay for your ticket, and that includes any show and food?
Yeah, so basically with Royal Caribbean, each ship kind of operates a little bit differently. This ship has a lot more food that's included in your cruise fare. So typically during the daytime, most cruise ships have just a buffet. A lot of the cruise lines are now introducing these kind of restaurant style type foods where it's more of a set menu. Sometimes some cruises cost for those types of foods for specialty dining. Some of them, like Royal Caribbean on this one, have a couple that are included, and then there are some they can pay for a la carte.
Okay.
To have some little upgrade options too.
I'd
say the upgrade ones are typically the food is made a little bit more fresh with the upgrades ones. The other places tend to be more of a buffet type style. So
definitely probably worth it to get the upgrade, to get the good grub, and then you do another upgrade to get the booze.
There's plenty of alcoholic drinks, non-alcoholic drinks. This ship was one of the first ones to introduce a family friendly bar. So they have, it's basically a lemonade stand in the family section. And it's a really cool concept that they designed cocktails as well as mocktails for kids that want to come up. They have little pouches that the kids can take and everything too. So it's a really cool concept. Everything was very good and full of sugar. So be prepared to have your kids run around the entire ship. But
so one thing that I was thinking, like with Carnival, it seems like that, like there's so many people packed and it's like cattle. You get herded into, you know, trying to get into elevators or, you know, I don't know. That's where my mind goes, like getting clustered. So in a ship this big with Royal Caribbean, do you feel like you're cattle, or is it like there's room to breathe?
Yeah, you would think. Every ship I've been on, typically the first day is the busiest day that you see in most people in the elevators. Usually once people start spreading out and kind of finding their place where they want to hang out, it definitely calms down throughout the week. You might have like a peak time at the elevators. Royal Caribbean, we were very impressed on this ship that they designed it I felt a lot better, and it was a lot more open concepts compared to their Harmony of the Seas that we went on a couple years ago. And their elevator system that they use now is that new technology where you press the button of the floor you want to go to first before you get on the elevator. And then it tells you which elevator to go to. So it basically puts people on the same elevator, so you're not stopping at 18 different floors, because that gets to be very frustrating.
Right. It's more efficient. Yes. That's good. I love efficiency. Yeah. So when it comes to like amenities, okay, and you get to your room, and I'm sure there's another upgrade where you can like have a beautiful, you know, scenery of the deck or
everything.
Of everything. So you get to your room. What's the amenities like?
So this ship is completely different, and I got to experience it because we went to every single cabin category on the ship. And there is over like 40 different cabin categories to choose from. So it used to be that you'd have basically an inside cabin, an ocean view cabin, which has just a window, and then a balcony cabin and a suite, and a few different kinds of suites. This one has 18 different kinds of interior type cabins. So you might have an interior cabin that has a window, but it's facing the central park or the surfside area. You can upgrade and get a balcony. There's plenty of different types of balconies too. So we actually had on this one a Central Park view balcony. It was a very unique one that it was an infinite balcony. So what that means is they got rid of the doors to go outside to the balcony, and now the window is the door. So there's a window, a glass window that slides down. So you can open up your balcony, and then that fresh air just kind of flows into the room too. So
and the smell of like the the greenery.
I wasn't sure if I would like it at first, because I'm like, if it is 800 degrees, these rooms, they get very humid quickly, especially down in Florida. We were down there when it was actually a cold front, so the air just felt amazing. It was nice to get some fresh air. Plus, it felt like an added additional space to our cabin, too, because we had that balcony portion that is now part of the cabin, too. So it was a cool experience to try it out. I missed seeing the water. Especially because the ship is so big. You don't even feel like you're on a ship, especially if you have those types of cabins, because you don't see the water. You just see a tree.
Well, what is that like? Because in my head, I picture, Titanic and like Jack holding Rose, and he's like, oh. So if you don't see the water, is it just like out of sight, out of mind?
You would think, we did hit a little bit of rough waters the one night, so I could feel the rockiness a little bit, but there's plenty of spaces to go see the water too as well. You can go up to the top decks and see outside and go in the aquadome area and see the front view of the ship, which is one of my favorite things to see. So it's what you want to make of it.
Some what about like the towels, Nick, tell me about the towels. Are they
all
the
towels.
Comfortable towels?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, the cabins are beautifully done. The bathrooms have a shower bathtub combo, which you don't get on a lot of cruise ships. So
how about that water pressure?
The bathroom was amazing. The water pressure is amazing.
Okay.
But
okay.
You always have to do the toilet test too, because the toilets on a cruise ship are a suction. So you don't sit on the toilet when you flush.
Oh.
Unless you're into that.
So it's almost like a camper.
Yeah, but okay. With a stronger suction on it. Yeah, it's loud. there's
like an airplane.
The cabins in general, they huge upgrades. It's beautifully designed on them, very colorful. Lots of USB ports. I know that's a big thing everybody wants to know now, is how many USB ports are there. There's a lot. There's a desk, there's a fridge to put stuff in. Plenty
you
of
spoke
towels.
Of humidity. Okay.
Yes.
So when you disembark and you're out into the ocean and you get, because we live in New Orleans, okay? And I, sometimes I don't want to feel that damn humidity. it's surreal. It's surreal. So if you go back to the room and can you feel wind on you? Did you feel like you could feel wind?
We didn't feel really
not
much
like
of anything,
wind outside, so, wind yeah. from like air condition.
The air condition, yes, because I keep it very cold in our cabin.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All the right answers.
That was part of my issue that we were concerned about with having this balcony cabin that opened up to get fresh air inside. I'm like, we love our cabin freezing. And I know once you get a little bit of warm air in, those cabins warm up very quickly, but we felt they were designed perfectly with this, and it kept the cold air in that I needed.
Yes.
I slept comfortably in those beds, and I love it.
And then you get to, like, when you wake up in the morning and, like, go have breakfast and coffee, like, at wherever you want. Like, I guess.
Yeah.
I know if you get the upgrade, you got to,
All
but I mean,
it. There's
that's so cool.
Plenty of options to choose from for breakfast. We ate at the Pearl Cafe a lot, which is right in the main atrium area, and it's just a beautifully area that you can sit and look out the windows. It's like a three-story windows. Then it's a nice cafe type style food with muffins and yogurts and all that type of things, and plenty of coffee. They have a Starbucks on board if you prefer just Starbucks, or you can get just a nice regular coffee too.
Love it. So I am like the old lady that lives in a shoe. I have so many children, don't know what to do. So if we brought the whole beautiful family with us, would I feel confident that, you know, baby Shane, he's like 4, you know, Ella's almost 7, Allie Mae's 8. So like there's like fun things for them to do in daycare maybe?
Absolutely. They have a giant kids club. And they break it out into different groups. So it's kids with their age groups, which is perfect. So there's plenty of things for them to do. So you can go head up to the bar, head up to watch a comedy show at nighttime. Lots of video games we saw in there as well too for the kids to play with. And they have a movie theater of their own and everything. So it's a really cool, fun area. And then if you want to play with your kids during the daytime, and there's plenty of options from water slides for the bigger kids. And then they even have a little kiddie area in the Surfside that is perfect. We're going back in May and taking Piper with us. I'm excited for her to little Club Yard.
You're going back to the Icon?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dang, so, put me in your luggage. All five of them.
and that's what I was going to say too. So Royal Caribbean on this ship designed it with more families in mind as well too, because their previous ships don't really fit families of more than 4. There's a few cabins that fit families of 5, but even then it's still tight. So they have some family cabins this time that have bunk beds in them that are really cute for the kids, and the kids have their own TVs, so they can do what they want. And then if it doesn't work out in your price point, you can also do a split cabin. So you can have the adults in one cabin and the kids in another one, and have connecting cabins, so it's basically one giant.
Oh, that's what speaks to me. So yeah. Is that like another upgrade, like as far as like doing daycare or whatnot? It's like, okay, do you want to upgrade to have daycare on?
The pricing, it's free. I believe if you're under 3, they do charge for like the nursery pricing, since they're dealing with diapers and things.
Right, too. Right.
And then they do have some after hours that they charge extra for, but everything else is
so you spoke of price points. Do you have any specific prices?
I will say the Icon is not cheap right now. Mm-hmm. Since it is the newest ship and the biggest ship, it is very popular, and because of that the prices continue to keep going up, unfortunately. When we booked our cabin last year, for 3 of us, it was like $4,500 for 3 people in an interior cabin. Pricing is now about $7,000 for that same cabin today.
Dang, so it's going up.
It has gone up, unfortunately. I looked at some prices a couple days ago for further out into like next year. It's definitely better to book far ahead of time. It's all supply and demand, so the prices are lower when there's not as much people booked. So in the lower sailing season, it's January through kind of March. It's really a good time to go. It's more of a cheaper time. Occasionally I can get some group rate pricing as well too. So if it's just 2 people going, I can get you cheaper price on that. Sometimes it's actually been cheaper to have 3 people in a cabin versus 2. So
That's something, because, yeah. You know, everybody thinks, or at least me, you know, Mississippi, but Disney, that's always like the top notch of my, you know, well, is it Disney? You know, but it's neat to see others coming along, you know, and that's not Disney, because I mean, you really, you know, looking at Disney's, I'm not pivoting to Disney, but you're getting the brand name that you're paying for, right? Like, you know, all the Disney characters and everything put into the detail of Walt Disney. But with this, and the difference, okay, good question I have. So you have one on one side, you have Virgin, you did that sexy, mm-hmm. you know, contemporary kind of ship. And then you have Icon, you have Disney. Where do you think the bang for your buck in the direction of like Icon, you get everything like you could ever imagine probably in yeah. one boat. Like where's that bang at?
It's It really depends on the client and what they are looking for to get out of their vacation. With Disney, they don't have a million water slides. Like Royal Caribbean, there's six water slides. Disney has like one or two water slides depending on the ship. So if that's what you want, great. Disney's kids clubs definitely are top notch. No cruise line's ever going to be Disney with their kids clubs. It's hands down. As an adult, I want to be in those kids clubs on Disney. So the kids clubs, honestly, they're not anything extra special. It's great to just put your kids in. They'll be entertained, but I think there's definitely a lot more to offer as far as that goes with Disney. Entertainment it's picking up. It's getting a lot better on Royal Caribbean ships and Carnival even too, with bringing on like Broadway style shows. The old shows that the ships used to do were very Vegas-y kind of style, big feathers and all that. And so they're stepping up their game, and that's where Disney always has done well at, is their shows are, they're an entertainment company. They're known for entertainment. Their shows are phenomenal. So it really depends on the client. Right now, Royal Caribbean is pricing pretty close to Disney, especially when you factor in all the extras that you want to add on. If you want drink packages, and the drink package is not cheap. It's very pricey.
What is that? Like, just throw it out.
It's about $70 to $80 per person per day. So you're looking at about $1,200 to $1,300
extra. So you, to get your money worth, you're going to be drunk as a skunk underneath a Christmas tree.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a lot. It's pricey, and I have a lot of clients that are hardcore and they want that drink package. Sure. We don't drink much anymore, so we'll have one or two drinks a day, maybe, and just
exactly. And you don't have to get the upgrade. You can be like, okay, I'm gonna have two drinks today.
Pace
myself. I don't want to be like Uncle pace Jimmy, and... you know, at a Christmas. too much eggnog. So I think that would be the route for, you know, your papa. So I want our audience, because I know our audience knows you already. So Sandpiper Vacations, tell us about COVID, like, redefined vacation and in a way, because it, I think, reintroduced travel agents and stuff. You're able to have someone really look out for you. So what, tell us about Sandpiper.
Yeah, so I mean, you brought up COVID, which is when we started our business. So my husband and I started the travel agency August 2020, when nobody was traveling. People thought I was crazy, but I knew that people were going to be ready to travel after COVID, and I've proven myself far with that. I was a travel agent before that too, and I had good business, but I don't think people understood the value, especially when they were dealing with all those cancellations during COVID. So if something happens like that again, God forbid, or anything in general with cruise ships are constantly getting changed their schedules due to issues. We had some cancellations yesterday and issues in the Red Sea right now. So we as a travel agent are going to fight to make sure that you are getting your compensation back if you are getting refunded. Unfortunately, a lot of those companies had issues with refunds, and it took 6 to 7 months. And we have direct contacts where I can make sure I'm getting to that person faster than you would by calling a phone line that's overseas or wherever. So, and on top of that too, I help my clients with cruises. I help navigate the seas essentially and letting you know what to expect on your first cruise, because it's a lot. It's overwhelming. I've been on 30 now, and it's still overwhelming. So not
dang to no I mean I, you're yeah. like a whiz. I'm sure, like, you know, you know exactly, you know, what to dadgum do.
Yeah, and it's like I can help guide you with the best things to do, things to not do in the ports on the islands that you visit, and the islands to kind of stay away from if you want. Especially being a gay family, part of my business model that I'm trying to do is make sure I find safe spaces for my clients to travel.
Yes, yes.
As gay dads, and we have a black daughter, I want to make sure that we're going to safe destinations. Jamaica, unfortunately, is not the most welcoming country. But I know what to expect if we were to go there and how to prepare my clients for that. So.
Wow. So it's multifaceted, Nick. Like, and I already knew this. It's just, I love rehearing it because it's just inspirational that we have, advocates of safe travel. You know what I mean? And that's across the board, you know, traditional or you know, the new age kind of family. I mean,
yeah, and
because
I have those relationships with not only my suppliers, like Royal Caribbean and Virgin, Disney, I have relationships, direct contacts with them. I actually just had a meeting 2 weeks ago, and now I have a relationship with the Jamaica Tourism Board, with the Aruba Tourism Board. I have like 5 different tourism board members that I'm basically friends with now. So building those relationships so that I can go to my clients if they have questions. I know there was issues recently in the news pop up with Jamaica and the Bahamas not being safe destinations, but unfortunately the news just twisted the story. It's nothing new. It's been, travel advisories are out all the time for different countries. We have a travel advisory for European citizens to come to the US. So it's what you make of it, and it's just making sure you're educated on what to do in those procedures, and that's what I'm here to help and make sure my destinations give us that information as well too.
And you also have a team, like is it a team like around the country? Like,
yeah, I have a team about right now we're up to about 15 travel advisors around the country. So we got I focus on LGBTQ families for us, so we have the whole everything covered, basically. We have people in Mississippi and New York and Texas. So we have people all across the country, and we're happy to help plan those destinations like cruises and all-inclusive resorts and Disney and Universal. So there's a lot of amazing destinations out there, and we're happy to help.
Ugh, I love it. And when people want to go and look you up, they can go to sandpipervacations.com, right?
Correct. Yeah, sandpipervacations.com, as well as all social media. We got TikTok now. I'm trying to learn that. I'm old and I'm still trying to figure it out. Instagram and Facebook. So anytime I'm on a trip, which I have another one coming up next month on Virgin Voyages again, I'm always doing live streams on Instagram and stuff too. So I like to showcase what it's like to be live on the ship and show you that the internet's actually really good. It's gotten better.
Is the internet good?
It's definitely gotten better. They now, a lot of the ships now have Starlink, and so you can stream. I've done live streams from there before. I did on Disney Cruise Line a couple years ago. We live streamed the fireworks.
Oh, wow.
From the middle of the ocean, I'm live streaming fireworks.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
The future.
I know. I'm like used to have to pay by the minute. When started cruising, yeah, that was not cheap.
Sheesh.
It's not cheap and not good.
I'm going to end on this because I saw it on the Instagram. It was a picture, and it was like a boat, a cruise ship, but it was like Harry Potter. And it was like all like the towers.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like all on a boat. I want to ask you, because you're on the inside, has Universal ever thought about creating a cruise ship?
I've not heard anything, and I saw what you were talking about too, and I've not heard anything from them. Who knows? They have a third theme park opening next year, Epic Universe. It's opening in 2025, so who knows with them? They're trying to kick Disney's butt right now.
I know. They really are progressing right along, making my palms sweat. Okay. but that boat with the Harry Potter thing, that looked incredible. It wasn't real. But it makes me think, like, where the cruise boats, the pleasure cruises are going today.
Cruise ships continue to keep growing. When I first started cruising in 1998, I think, it wasn't that big yet. And there's still so many new cruisers all the time. And the average return rate of cruisers is so huge. People absolutely love it. I just had a client get back on their first cruise. They went on a Christmas sailing, and literally 2 days later, they're like, okay, we're ready to book 2 more. So, they're addicting. It's a great way to see the world and see so many different cultures. There's European cruises, Alaska, Canada. You can go to Norway, Australia. There's tons of them out there.
Oh my goodness. You inspire me to get on a boat with these children.
It's the best bang for your buck. You don't have to pack at all. All of your food is right there, your drinks right there. So all you have to do is get off and go to the land and come back and everything's ready to go. So,
what do you mean you don't have to pack?
You just pack one time at the end of your cruise.
Oh, you're right. Just put it in your thing and set it and forget it.
Yeah, if you want to go to Europe, you can see 4 different countries in 1 week and not have to pack every single time. You just have a room that moves with you.
Wow. It's like the moon when you're like riding and they're like, the moon's following. Anyway, okay. Nick, this is so fun. I love learning from you.
Well, thank you. Again, I appreciate it.
This is so much fun. Y'all, you can learn all about planning your vacation, the new age way, at sandpipervacations.com. Tell them Nola Papa sent you. And until we see you again, my friend, my family sends Nola love to you and yours.
Back to you guys. We appreciate it.
Aw, thanks, Nick.
Oh, hey, how y'all doing? Are you in the market to buy or sell your home? Or perhaps you're a landlord looking for a top-notch property management service? Well, if that's the case, Steph has got you covered, baby. She is a top-notch performing agent with over 12 years of experience and dedication to providing the best possible service to her clients. She has a niche for understanding her clients' unique needs and finding their perfect place to call home. For sellers, she creates a custom marketing plan that highlights the unique features of the home to get it sold quickly and efficiently. For landlords, she offers top-notch property management services, maximizing investment potential. With Stephanie's knowledge of the market, passion for real estate, feisty for life, and commitment to exceptional service, you can trust that you're in good hands. And trust it, Papa says it. For all your real estate needs, call Steph. So just find her at realestatewithsteph.com. realestatewithsteph.com.
At Ochsner Hospital for Children, we understand that accidents and illnesses happen. Our 24/7 pediatric ER has you covered no matter what unexpected moments life throws your way. Visit ochsner.org/forchildren to learn more.
Well, hello, Nola Papa listeners. I'm Rob Shear, and I'm the founder of Comfort Cases. As many as you may know, foster care can be a very difficult time. It can be uncertain journeys for every child who enters. And we all must understand that children enter foster care because of choices other people made. I would really love for each and every one of you to visit comfortcases.org to find out how you can truly get involved, whether it's going through volunteering at one of our national centers, or whether maybe you might do a drive or a packing party. There's a way for each and every one of us to make a difference in every single child who enters foster care. You know, together we can give these kids hope, dignity, and we can give them a sense that we can... Together, we can give these kids hope, dignity, and love. Because isn't that what each and every one of us want? So please, listen to Nola Papas. And I know you're all good humans. And I know that you're going to visit comfortcases.org. Take care. Well, hey, Nola Papa listeners, it's Rob Shear again, the founder of Comfort Cases. You know, I know that each and every one of you are good humans. And for the last 10 years, we have packed over 200,000 comfort cases and have delivered them to all 50 states, DC and Puerto Rico, and have even opened up a center in the United Kingdom. You know, none of this would have not happened without you. Our community. See, each and every one of us must understand something. Your community is not your zip code, my friends. Our community is our human race, and it is up to us to make sure that the 438,000 plus children who are actually sitting in foster care know one thing, and that is they are loved. So continue to visit comfortcases.org and have an amazing day.
Hello, this is Doug Munster. I'm with Gift of Adoption. We provide grants to complete the adoption process of vulnerable children, giving them permanent families and a chance to thrive. If you have ever considered the adoption process or are interested in getting information regarding adoption, please reach out to us at giftofadoption.org. And if you have any particular questions, please go to Instagram and reach out to Real Modern Dads. Send us a message and we'd be glad to help you out in any way and assistance we could in your journey. And again, thank you so much for supporting adoption. We are here to create forever families and help as many families complete the adoption process as we can. Thank you so much, and we really hope to hear from you soon.
Hey everyone, Brian Rosenberg here, founder of Days with Kids. I have exciting news for those hoping to become dads. Until now, determining your best path to fatherhood and then trying to wrap your head around all the moving parts could best be described as overwhelming, complicated, and sometimes downright baffling. But not anymore. In early February, we're launching GWK Academy, a specialized program created specifically for queer men looking to become dads. GWK Academy should be the very first stop on your journey to fatherhood. First, we'll help you determine your best path to fatherhood. Then, whether you choose surrogacy, adoption, or foster care, we'll give you the information, the resources, and the connections you need so you can launch your own journey feeling prepared, knowledgeable, and confident. So be on the lookout for our official launch announcement at gayswithkids.com and make sure you're following us on social media at gayswithkids.
You got itchy, dry, rashy skin? Need an ointment that'll give you relief? Pink Salve, P-I-N-X-A-V. Pink Salve soothes, heals, and protects your whole family's skin from eczema, chafing, and diaper rash too, and not to mention the acne. Support this LGBTQ plus women-owned family business, and it'll be the best rash decision you'll ever make. And if you go to pinksav.com, P-I-N-X-A-V.com, you can get 10% off your next order if you use Nola Papa. Get that keyword, Nola Papa. Pinksav, y'all.
As my kids get older, okay, because we got a almost 4-year-old, almost 7-year-old, and an 18 going on, or an 8-year-old going on 15-year-old. So 4, 7, and 8. And my 8-year-old is getting into the arts. Okay, I'm going to go Kathy Lee Gifford real quick. My girl, she entered a poetry contest. And she's only in second grade, and she got second place, y'all. She got second place, and it was about being kind to one another, and you shouldn't bully, and you should accept people for all backgrounds. This little second grader, well, she won, and her big thing is being in front of a large crowd. And you know, I told her, I said, imagine them all naked. And she said, oh, Papa. And then I thought, dang, she is in second grade. That might be weird. Okay, chickens. Imagine them all chickens. And she, you know, she thought that one was funny. But she had to get in front because she won second place. So she had to get in front of the school, in front of everybody. And in the pulpit where the priest does, because it's an Episcopal school, and she does it. She does a great job, and she feels so relieved. And you know, that's how you tackle those little fears, and at an early age too, mind you. Well, let's rewind it. About 25 to 30 years ago, all right? And I was in eighth grade, okay? And you had to do this in order to get into drama in ninth grade, all right? So you had to choose from 3 different scripts, and it's kind of like American Idol, but definitely not. It was like, you know, high school thing. But anyway, you get on the stage, you know, say your script in front of the director of drama. Like, you know, there's like a panel of 3 or 4. And everybody had talked about the drama instructor because she was brilliant. Brilliant. And I remember it to this day. And I'm going to torture you real quick. Hold on. You know what the problem is with you? Inferiority complex. You know what that means? That means... That's what it means when someone low rates themselves. And fast forward it to however many years, and your papa has inferiority complex. How about that? In my audition and into now, come to find out, I really do have inferiority. Anyway, you guys, I love authors, and I love really useful texts, especially when it is has to do with my babies. And I think when you aren't afraid to let your light shine and to be loud, and people go, huh, you know, like that, to me, ignites candles. It does. To me, I think. And I'm really elated because today we're welcoming a children's author, but also an adult, like for adults too. And it is learning about acting at an early age, and like improv, and like being on your toes. And like, what do you do? Well, Sam Marston is here from across the pond, and she has a couple of books out, and she is here to talk about not only the books, but what inspired her to write the books. I'm really tuned in. Sam, welcome to the show. I'm so excited you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here too.
Isn't her accent so cute? I'm from South Mississippi. Some say
that, well, I love your accent.
Some say that I have one. I've lived in I've lived in New Orleans for a real long time, and it's like gum on the bottom of my shoe. It will not come off. It won't go away. So I appreciate that. And I'm so glad that you reached out to us, because I love the topics of your books. I love drama. And anybody knows me, you know that's the truth. So what? Let's just start from your books first. What are your books called?
So my books are aimed at teachers and parents who want to teach their children drama. The first one is Acting Games for Improv, and the second one is Drama Games for Early Years. And then in April, I've also got another one coming out called Drama Games for Creative Writing.
Wow. You just coming, it's like coming out left and right. I love it. So the first one, you geared it towards the parents and allowing us as parents to hone in on our kids' capabilities.
Yeah, I mean, it was mainly aimed at teachers, if I'm completely honest, theatre teachers, drama teachers. But if you are a very keen parent, then you can pick it up and use some of the exercises in there. I have an 8-year-old, and he loves playing drama games. So I will often play drama games from it. And sometimes he'll pick the book up and go, "Mom, play this one with me." And I'm like, okay. So yeah, it can be used by parents or teachers, but mainly aimed at teachers. And there's lots of activities in there. There's 30 improv games that you can play. And they're all great fun, and they just help kids just connect with themselves, which is the main reason I love improv, because you're connecting with you're constantly teaching your students to connect with their intuition and to connect with the first thing that comes into your head, and not to block one another. Don't block yourself. Just go for it.
I love it. And I mean, you know, people say that your that first thought, whether it's an answer to a question or it's your instinct, it is your gut. And, you know, whether you're answering a question or doing a talent, you're not, I think what's cool about improv is you're not thinking, overthinking a script. You just do it off the cusp. And that allows you to not get tripped up in the fear.
Yeah.
Because fear really holds us down a lot of times.
It really does. And I see so many students surprise themselves in the improv class. You know, people come in and they're like a bit scared. They're like, I'm not sure if I want to do improv. It sounds really scary. So you start off really slow and you never force anyone into anything. And there's some nice kind of little warm-up games just to kind of slightly break the ice and get people into it. And then you can build up and build up and people really surprise themselves. You know, they'll find themselves just, bam, getting up in the middle of the circle and doing an improv and pretending to be someone else or going for it. And then afterwards, you just see they're kind of so excited and they're smiling and they're like, whoa, I didn't know I could do that. And I was like, yeah, you can. You had it in you all along. And then you see that confidence radiate out in other areas. You see them, you know, be speaking out in friendship groups or speaking out in other classes because they realize all of a sudden that actually their voice is pretty cool and their ideas are great and they're more capable than they think they are.
I love it. And they become more socially active, usually, you know, like I know in drama, the techies, they not necessarily really wanted to go out on the stage, but they found a home in drama and working behind the scenes and all of a sudden, you know, the quiet person in the back starts to laugh and talk in class and you're like, wow, that's what you sounded like. And it's only because I feel like drama allows them, us, everyone, the opportunity to quit overthinking things and just go with it.
Yeah. And it's really important to provide a safe space for the students. And just, I'm often saying, it's okay to fail. Like, if you get up there and you muddle your words or your idea falls flat on its face, that's great. It means you're pushing yourself hard enough. And there's this real encouragement for failure in the class. And it's cool. And nobody judges each other. And they get up again and they try again and then they get it right.
And then it, like, and the more they do it, the better they get, the more confident they are. And little Johnny or Sally, who still isn't where, you know, the person is that is now getting better and better, it trickles down to them and allows them to see, you know, wow, I can do that, you know, and then it just, it resonates with the others, and then it's a, like a pay it forward kind of talent, because they're paying it forward by coming out of their own shell, and the people there witnessing it, it's like a gift for them to be able to,
absolutely,
to witness it.
Yeah, it really is, and it's amazing the group dynamics. Like you see when some people start really, you know, pushing themselves and doing really well, everybody kind of lifts up with them. It's a real kind of community thing that goes on.
It's almost, I remember when I was in ninth grade, like we had to do these plays that we got into groups, and our play, which was just, a group of three or four, it was so dang good. Like, we all had chill bumps. It was, like, it created electricity. In that moment when, like, I don't know, I have never really witnessed that again because I went into the choir direction. But like when everybody is like trying their hardest and like the acting chops that are coming out of these kids, it really is, it's magnetic or whatever it is. I mean, it's really cool.
Yeah, I love what you say when you say it's like electricity. And that's exactly what it is. When you have a group of people together and it something just sparks, something works, it creates electricity. And I have sometimes said in like an improv class, like, whoa, that was electric. Because it really was.
Yeah.
And everybody feels it. And there's something about being live together in the same space. Like we all know from going to the theater, like sometimes you go to the theater and it's so different to watching a film or TV. And for a really good show, you come out and you're like, I just felt that energy. I felt that collective energy. And you can do that in the drama class with the students. And it's the most magical thing. I mean, obviously you don't get it every lesson and it doesn't happen all the time, but just those moments when it happens.
It's like striking a campfire. Like, you know, you have your sticks and you're like, you know, working, twiddling the sticks, and then like a charge happens and like it, and then you have a campfire because of like the electricity or what, the static, I don't know what causes a fire, but anyway, it that like that is something that to behold. It really is. Your first book was aimed at towards teachers, so the second one, tell us about the second one.
Yeah, also aimed at teachers, so it's drama games for early years, but again there are some games that you could play at home with your kids. Early years, I say, is 4 to 7 year olds. I don't know if you think it is too. You call it kindergarten, is that right? Which for ages I thought was kindergarten. A lot of Brits think that.
Yeah, it's kindergarten.
Oh, not garden? I don't know. We get very confused by this word in the UK.
Garten. Yeah, kindergarten. T-E-N. Mm.
Yeah.
Kindergarten. It's not kindergarten.
No.
I thought it was kindergarten for the longest. Yeah.
Oh, you did too. Good.
Yeah. Just like library. It's not library, it's library.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. She's like, oh, I've always thought it was library.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, down south, it's like, it's a struggle bus. Okay, so the second book is aimed towards the youngers.
Yeah, and I taught this age group for 11 years. And honestly, they are so good at drama. They're better than adults.
Wow. And
actually, I went to drama school as an adult with an 20-year-old. And they're training you to be like a 5-year-old again. Because you go in as an 18, 19, 20-year-old to drama school and you're blocked. And they're just trying to remove all the blockages. They're trying to remove all the rubbish that you've collected over the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get you back to that childlike state, to that kind of open mind that 4, 5, 6 year olds have. And they're just so authentic. And there's no inhibitions, their imaginations are fantastic, and they will just dive straight into a game, straight into an activity with sincerity and wholeheartedly. And honestly, they are the best at drama. They're not the best at getting into a circle. You're like, can everybody get in a circle 10 minutes later? But you ask them to pretend to be a monkey and boom, they're away, like giving a believable performance. So they have a lot to teach professional actors, actors in training, about being so open. And yeah, I developed lots of activities for that age group. So a lot of people do complain that they're a difficult age group to teach. People are like, oh no, how do you teach them? Like, you know, I'm glamorizing it a bit. I mean, you know, they have got short attention spans. You need to keep them entertained. And I find about 7 minutes per activity for them. So in a drama class, I plan 7 minutes per activity. Whereas an older class, you can do like 15 minutes per one.
I'm sorry for interrupting. It's super fascinating because with an adult, you're peeling back the layers, like, of what you're wanting to get to with a kid, because the kid hasn't had all the circumstances and situations of, you know, hurt feelings and fears, and it's like a callus on a hand, you know, like you do something enough, like the gym or what have you, and you create a callus on your hand, and like you want to get past the callus, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really fascinating. Starting out earlier, wow. Are there a lot of programs that offer up drama for littles?
In the UK, yes. I don't know about the States. By the way, you are so good with metaphors. I love it. Your callous metaphor.
Thank you. I do. It helps me think, you know, like I see pictures.
You had like three brilliant ones. Just like, boom. Yes, I mean, there are in the UK many, many programs for that age group. I don't mean to be negative, but a lot of them aren't taught all that well. Like, I think a lot of them, people get a little bit scared of that age group because they can misbehave.
Sure.
They can kind of run
it's
around.
It's par for the course. I mean, you know, it's a wild age group, but it's an important age group.
It is. And like the first 3 years I taught them, it was kind of like just normal kind of party games type stuff. But then I was like, what if I try this? What if I try this? And then I developed a whole bunch of techniques to do with them, which really, really worked. And then I ended up training lots of teachers in the UK how to use these techniques. So like one, for example, is like we're going on a journey and you get the whole group and you say, I've got great news. We're going to Brazil. I've got these tickets to Brazil. We're going to the jungle. Who wants to go? And like everyone's like, yeah, me. And then like you'll suddenly like put a little scarf around your head and pretend to be the air hostess and be like, tickets please, everybody board the plane, and like lots of teacher enroll, and then you whip the scarf off, and then like you might put a backpack on and you're going to take them around the jungle, and you're like, right kids, we're going to walk around the jungle, and you can put some music on with like jungle sound effects and be like, look everybody, it's an elephant, take a photo, and everyone like takes a photo, and like just going on these journeys I found with this age group, they love it, and they full-heartedly seem to believe it, which sometimes I felt a bit bad. I was like, I'd be like, there's a tiger! And then they'd all be like, oh!
Oh, I love it. I don't know if it's because I have three kids that are all in this age group, because I can see all of their reactions in my head right now. And like that, as parents, I know that we're not all like, you know, podcast hosts and writers and like, you know, things that that others that are quiet might not necessarily do. But just like brushing your teeth, to me, my opinion only, leave it where you want it. But when you do different things like that, like going on an adventure in your living room, and you create, you know, forts, and you know, you're telling stories by the campfire, and your kids are making you pasta out of Mardi Gras beads. It happened just a couple of weeks ago. That it ignites little brain waves or something. And what was a dark and kind of fearful room of like, you know, anything in front of anybody or speaking out loud in front of anybody, the more you do this, just like brushing your teeth, the prettier smile will be. So if you have a kid and you introduce them to, you know, drama and poetry, and like speaking about emotions, because in today's time, especially from the South and in the States, emotions are kind of like, and especially if you're a man, please, you're not allowed to have emotion. And with this, you're able to have emotion and allow people, even if you're not feeling it, to see it. And that strikes chords for other people watching, like your peers and, you know, other people that might be afraid. I'm talking too much, Sam.
No, I'm completely absorbed, and I'm really sorry to hear that you have that problem in the South too about men and emotions. So I didn't realize you get that in the States as well. We have it in the UK. It's absolutely terrible. And boys, very much so, and men are just told to like get on with it, don't have emotions, and it's so damaging. And it makes me really sad. So I'm sorry that you have that too.
I think we're not all that different, honestly. I mean, we have perceptions of one another, and I know English, I picture them to be perfect and like, you know, beautiful garden. You know, it's like cliches almost. And I think that the further along we go into the future, bothersome cliches, like emotions that need to be harbored, that is bothersome and it is damaging. And I think the louder and the more we get on in the future, the louder the others are, like the podcast hosts and the writers, we can all band together. And we can tell the ones in the back that this is damaging.
Yeah, and drama is just wonderful for releasing emotions.
Definitely.
And for a lot of people, actually, they might feel too embarrassed to say this is my feeling in front of a group of people. But if you give them a character to play, and if you give them some given circumstances or something, and then they can release that emotion, perhaps as another character in front of the group, it does something for them. It lifts something for them. And then that can bleed out into other parts of their life too, because they've been like, well, I released this emotion as this character and I was furious, and you know, and it was fine. Or maybe actually just maybe I can show some of my real emotion to someone else, my friends or whoever. And I also think naming emotions is so important. Like a lot of people are really bad at is it sad, is it anger, is it jealousy, fear, you know, or positive ones too, excitement, happiness and all the rest of it. And drama, they're like, oh okay, these are the emotions, and they're learning about that.
Yes, as drama teacher, I assume you're a drama coach or?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, and your range is from adult to littles.
Well, it has been. So at the moment I'm just doing, what age is it? 6 to 13-year-olds. But over the years, I've taught for like 15 years, I've gone right from 3-year-olds to kind of 20-year-olds.
Wow, okay. So you guys, we're talking to Sam Marsden, and she has written a couple of books, and one is Acting Games for Improv, and the other one is more aimed towards, you know, littles, and it is Drama Games for Early Years from 4 to 7. And I have a question, Miss Drama Teacher, Sam Marsden. So if you are teaching a class of students, this is, I guess, more of an older kid question. High school, maybe. Because as a drama teacher, I assume you're able to read your kids. Like, you're like wanting to like, you know, see what kind of personality each kid has. And if like a kid is reserved, maybe you don't know if they're sad, but like their eyes look kind of sad. They're monotoned. You don't see them smile too much. To me, as a person wanting, I'm very fascinated by this. As the teacher, do you find that student and try to find a role that resembles what their mannerisms are. That way they're able to act out, not realizing they're acting like this character, but it helps them open up. And, you know, is that a thing? It seems like it would help.
Yeah. So I tend to give people characters are quite different from themselves.
Oh, opposites.
Uh-huh. Because they find that quite liberating. And I check with them first. Like, I don't force. But yeah, if I had that kid with sad eyes and a monotone voice and all the rest of it, I would, you know, quietly take them aside and I'd be like, I've got this amazing part for you. I think you could have so much fun with it. I think it could be really liberating for you. And you know, I try and get them like a bit excited and find some points of connection and stuff. And then be like, do you want to do it? And then if they said no, I wouldn't force them, but they'll probably say yes.
Oh, that's cool.
I find if I'm excited, then they get excited.
And you have definitely a contagious smile and personality. So I can just imagine how, you know, it translates in a classroom, you know? Because when you have kids, like, they're scared they're going to get made fun of. Some of them are already getting made fun of. Some of them are gay. Some of them, you know, and it's difficult to be yourself when you have when you've had experienced, you know, things. I'm just like looking back. So when you said earlier it's a safe space, I love that. So your kids, they know that they're in a safe space before anything ever even starts?
Yeah. So safe space is my big thing. Every book I have, I've written a little piece about it. And it's not something that just comes. You don't just get a safe. You have to create it. So the first time I ever meet a group, they'll get a lecture from me about creating a safe space. And then they'll get a 5-minute reminder at the start of every class. And these things include, you know, I'll never force you to do anything you don't want to do. You can always sit out and say no thanks, and that's fine by me. So the moment you say to them, I'm not going to force you to do anything, you just see their shoulders relax a bit and they say, thank goodness. Now everybody joins in by week 3 because everybody's volunteering to, and everyone wants to because you make the lesson so fun they can't resist. And then another one is, you know, I have a zero tolerance for any bullying, any nasty remarks, even nasty faces or nasty body languages or a tut. If you do any of those things, you gotta sit out. And if you do it a second, like, I am so strict and on it. And then I just encourage them to see the best in each other. And I say, you know, if you see somebody do a great improv, or if you see somebody, just go and silently tell them. Not silently tell them, but, you know, just go and quietly just go, hey, that was great. Or I really liked it when you were this character. And they do it. And you see them going up to each other and just going, oh, that improv you did was so cool. And just giving them permission to kind of compliment each other and like that does something. Yeah.
Encouragement. Oh, my goodness. That, like, people don't understand how much encouragement means to someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you tell your students to do that for others, like, golly, make you feel warm and bubbly, you know?
Yeah, it's lovely. And obviously I do it too. Like, oh, sorry, I just hit my microphone. I do it too and encourage them. And another thing, you know, I say, okay, so I always start in a circle and we'll always do a little icebreaker or something. And I say, we're going to leave everything outside of the drama room that we think about one another. So in here, all your popularity circles and your cliques and your friendship groups of whatever webs of things you've got, they do not exist in this drama class. And you put them outside now.
Wow.
And sometimes awesome. I'll even be really literal. I'll make them put it in a box and then I get them to go and store the box outside. The literalness kind of like makes them laugh and it really like gets it in their head. And I'm like, we are all equal. And that is that. And we all have feelings and we all, you know, are sensitive creatures. So you just, you know, and you might not even think the way you're looking at somebody could hurt their feelings, but it might. So where you can, please give each other smiles, give each other nods, give each other like bits of encouragement. And that really helps create a safe space as well.
And as long as they teach cognizance, you know, like when you just said you could be looking at someone and not realizing, you know, your brows are down and like you're thinking and you might not even be thinking about that person, but yes. Like you are thinking hard and you're looking at them and it could hurt their feelings. So if they're cognizant of, and if I'm cognizant of, if you're cognizant of, you know, the way you look at others, or I don't know, just be cognizant, not even the way you look. It leads to encouragement. It really does.
Yeah.
That's what I think. So I have a question. Who or what inspired you to go in the direction that you went in for drama?
If we want to go far, far, far back, my uncle, my mum's brother, my uncle Terry, who's a singer on cruise ships and a performer and does pantomime. You don't have pantomime in the US, do you?
I've heard, is it this?
No.
Miming? Oh, that's I'm mime. In a glass box?
No.
Oh, pantomime. What is
pantomime?
Oh, okay.
It's a type of theatre we have in the UK at Christmas. And it's often like Cinderella or Jack and the Beanstalk. And then they like act out the story. And then we have all these weird little traditions. It is a little bit odd, if I'm honest. But
I guess I've heard of the word. I've never heard of what it is. This is interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, he does that. He's a performer. And when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old, he used to do this amazing thing with me and my brother. And he would act out stories with us. And I remember he was playing Peter Pan in the pantomime. So he had like a proper Peter Pan costume. And I was Wendy and my brother was John. And we were in my grandmother's living room and he'd like tuck us up into bed. And then like he'd jump out of the window, the actual window. It was a bungalow. And then he'd like knock on it, it's Peter Pan, and like wave, and then I'd have to like open the window, and then he'd like jump in and he'd like lost his shadow and I'd have to help him find his shadow. And it was honestly like my best childhood memory.
How
I
vivid.
Loved it.
Like I could see how vivid it is, you just talking about it. Wow.
Yeah, and I loved it. And I guess maybe I just always wanted to have that feeling again. Of that kind of excitement and imagination. And so I went to drama clubs like from when I was about 6 years old and never stopped ever.
That's incredible.
Like
seeing your adult uncle jump out of the window in a Peter Pan costume. Like where do you see a family, a grown family member is that, you know what I mean, like that
he's tiny, so he's this tiny little man, he's like 4'11".
Oh my.
He's
that's
very
like my
handsome
height.
Oh wow,
I love that, like when kids are able to see the difference of, you know, the grind. You know, this is the grind. We do it every day. This is the grind. We do it every day. And then when they are able to see, you know, something that is complete left field and it is so exciting. You know, I think that also lights candles. And I love that. My uncle was one of my inspirations. It's really, it's special how you have that. So how do you keep your inspirations full each day? What inspires you every day?
So I love new stuff. Like, so I read a lot, but then I love creating something new from maybe what I've read. So like, I'll get a little seed of something and then I'll think, well, what if I put it together with that? And then what if we tried that? And I just find creating new things keeps me inspired and keeps my brain whirling.
I love that. You have a third book coming out in a very short time period. So yeah, you are very creative. So this is the third book. And when is it releasing?
April.
April, coming on up next month. And what's the name of it again?
That one is Acting Exercises for Creative Writing.
All right. And if people are wanting to learn more about you and your books and stuff, where can they find you?
You can just go on Amazon, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Amazon.
Do you have a website?
I do. I do have a website, www.marsdensam.com, because sammarsden.com was taken.
Oh, those. Oh, yeah. So, and do you mess around in Instagram and stuff?
Oh, yes, I do. I mess around on Instagram at Pocketful of Drama.
Pocketful of Drama. Yes.
Yeah. And I mess around on Twitter at Sam Marsden Drama.
They had your name.
Yes.
Twitter had it.
Yeah, I got in early.
There you go. Thank you so much for sending the books my way. I can't wait to pick them up and read them. I did go through the you know, digital copy. So I really appreciate that. What you are doing is so flipping important. And I don't want you to ever lose sight of that, because I know that teachers, they, you know, after so many years, they, you know, it's like putting on your shoes. But like what you say, you know, keeping your shoes different and like, you know, throwing them up in the air and then putting them on, you know, whatever it does to keep them, you know, like Mr. Rogers, it's just very important. And the lives that you touch will be eternally grateful. And for the time that I've been able to chat with you, I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And I just love your energy.
Oh, well, it is right back at you. And I love your accent so much. France is, I've just got to get on my soapbox real quick. Say, I upped your message to the front because you said about France and all this. France is my favorite country in the whole world, okay? We went to France in 2014, and, that, you know, coming from Mississippi, we barely get out of the county, much less the country. And I got to see Paris, oh, in all of her glory. And I found out afterwards that New Orleans and Paris are sisters. And the architecture, the food, the people say they're rude. They're not. You just need to learn some of their language and not be so entitled. But anyway, so I'm just peachy that I got to talk to you. And where in France do you live?
So I'm southwest France, in a medieval city called Sarlat-le-Canada, which I highly recommend. It's so beautiful. It's where they filmed Ever After, the film with Drew Barrymore.
See, like, it's beautiful. It's
so beautiful. And the food is so good.
Oh my goodness. So it's like a village.
It's a city because we have a cathedral, but it's a small city.
Okay. What's the name of it again? Canada something.
Sarlat. Oh no, I'm pronouncing it French. You're not pronouncing. Okay. Sarlat. It's spelled.
Sarlat.
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 If you just put that into Google and you'll find it.
Sarlat.
Sarlat Le Canada.
Sarlat.
They don't pronounce the T here. If you pronounce the T, they give you a bad look. So I'm in the habit of pronouncing
Sarlat.
The T.
Okay, I won't pronounce the T. Sam, thank you so much for stopping by. This is awesome.
Thank you so much for having me. It was lovely.
To the moon with you. I really am. I love what you're doing, and the people and the babies and the kids that are lucky enough to have you. Hopefully one day they know just how lucky they were.
Oh, thank you.
And I just have to say, from my family to yours, we send you NOLA love.
Oh, straight back at you.
Oh, thank you.
You got itchy, dry, rashy skin? Need an ointment that'll give you relief? Pink Salve, P-I-N-X-A-V, Pink Salve, soothes, heals, and protects your whole family's skin from eczema, chafing, and diaper rash too, and not to mention the acne. Support this LGBTQ plus women-owned family business, and it'll be the best rash decision you'll ever make. And if you go to pinksalve.com, PINXAV.com, you can get 10% off your next order if you use NOLA Papa. Get that keyword, NOLA Papa. Pink Salve, y'all.
Are you ready to embark on a magical journey with your family? Look no further. Welcome to Sandpiper Vacations, where we specialize in crafting unforgettable experiences for LGBTQ plus families. Whether you are dreaming of a relaxing cruise, an all-inclusive resort, or the tropical islands of Hawaii, we've got you covered. Our gay-owned and operated travel agency is dedicated to creating inclusive and memorable experiences for families just like yours. Picture this, a stress-free vacation where every detail is taken care of. That's what we're here for. At Sandpiper Vacations, we understand the unique needs and desires of LGBTQ plus families, and we've curated the perfect destinations just for you. Our planning services are completely free and designed to make your vacation planning as hassle-free as possible. So why stress over planning when you can leave it up to the experts? Let Sandpiper Vacations turn your travel dreams into reality. Visit our website at sandpipervacations.com or give us a call or shoot us a text at 614-407-3232.
Ooh, y'all, it takes a village to make this show happen. And it definitely couldn't happen without the generous pockets from our family of sponsors like Ochsner Hospital for Children, Ochsner.org, Rouse's Markets, Pink Salve Diaper Rash Cream at PinkSalve.com, Sandpiper Vacations at SandpiperVacations.com, Comfort Cases, find them at ComfortCases.org. New Orleans Ice Cream Company, find them at NewOrleansIceCream.com. Real Estate with Steph, find her over at RealEstateWithSteph.com. Our beloved Audubon Institute, find them at AudubonInstitute.org. Kids Dream Dress Boutique, find them at KidsDreamUS.com. And Zach George and his dog training revolution. Find him on YouTube. Our partners like gayswithkids.com and all the others that help. But we cannot forget our show's director and editor and knower of all digital things, Adrian over at Ice Media. And of course, we can't forget y'all. Thank you so much for listening. We couldn't have it without you. And if you know anyone that would like to become a partner with NOLAPAPA.com, you can send them to Eric@NOLAPAPA.com. Shoot me an email, and I'll shoot it right back, baby. Until then, NOLA Love.